The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
We're on the air again. My name is Pastor Russell Shepherd from Grace Ministries, and we want to talk to you today about the Word of God. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we'll find our text, beginning at verse 18. I'll just read these verses, and we'll look to the Lord as we have a word of prayer, where Paul says to the Roman saints, and it's God's word to us today, "Well, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But we hope for that which we see not, for if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Father, we say thank you in our Savior's name. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. We come as we study thy word to recognize and exalt thee and thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, the just for the unjust to bring us to thee, who put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself, who was buried and rose again the third day for our justification, so we can say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. We just commit this time to the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, that thy word might be glorified and that we might be edified and that thy word might have free course to do and to go and accomplish the purpose that thou hast sent it forth to do, that is to be the incorruptible seed that brings forth life that liveth and abideth forever. We just give you thanks in our Savior's blessed and holy and holy name. We give thanks unto him. Amen. Verse 18, our message is entitled "This Present Time." This Present Time. As we come to the book of Romans, Romans is a fascinating book. That has to do with the book of doctrine. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not some Scripture, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then he says it's profitable. It's profitable, first of all, for doctrine. Now, doctrine means teaching. For reproof, that means to deal with certain moral issues in the conduct of believers, members of the body of Christ, God's church today, blood-bought, redeemed saints. And correction. Correction has to do with thinking process, how your thinking sometimes is off. And so God Almighty lays out a pattern. He says that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished into every good work. When we get to the book of Romans, it's a foundation book, we call it, because it lays the foundation for salvation today and what the Bible calls the dispensation of grace. That might sound like a strange word to you, but Paul says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. You see, after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day, the Bible says he showed himself alive for 40 days by many infallible proofs, But after that, the Lord was ascended. He ascended back into heaven. He was exalted, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And God Almighty ushered in a new dispensation, a new program. He changed the program for the kingdom program that specifically dealt with the nation of Israel to the mystery program that deals with the issues of the church, the body of Christ, and a grace dispensation. That is a time when God is dispensing his grace, the opposite of what he was supposed to do. After Israel had rebelled and rejected the Father through the prophets, the God of Israel, and here comes the Son, and they crucified the Prince of Life. They killed the Lord of Glory. They rejected the Son. Then in the book of Acts, the early Acts, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost through the ministry of the 12 and the ministry of Stephen, one of the deacons who was stoned. And Israel committed the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin in the Word of God is not somebody hanging themselves or somebody who's excommunicated by some religious denomination, but it was Israel speaking evil against God's Son and his work at Calvary. And Peter told them to repent of that. And yet they didn't. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. The nation as a whole rebelled against God. And God, instead of ushering in his wrath and his judgment, offered grace. And yet there's a change. When Paul says in verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of, notice this present time. There's a key for you in the Word of God. It's called the present time. Now, in my mind, it makes no sense for Paul to use that terminology or for the Holy Spirit to use that terminology unless there is a time change, a dispensational issue involved in the passage that has to do with our sonship status. As I started off earlier saying, Romans is a book of doctrine. And Paul, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, lays out forth the issues of the accomplishment of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Justification by faith alone, how God can take the guilty sinner who deserves his wrath and his judgment and offer righteousness imputed without a cause. Righteousness imputed simply as a free gift. He says in the third chapter of Romans, verse 19, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, why did God give the law? Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Watch this. That every mouth might be stopped and all the world might become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, Paul says, shall no flesh be justified in God's eyesight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But the next verse is a marvelous verse. But now the righteousness of God today in 1995, the righteousness of God apart from the law is being proclaimed. He says we can be justified freely, verse 24 of Romans 3, by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. What shall we say to Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof the glory, but not before God. But watch this. What saith, not the preacher, not the religious system, but what saith the scriptures? Abraham, the Bible says, believed God. Isn't that wonderful? And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now the Bible says, now to him that worketh is a reward, that's righteousness, is a reward imputed freely, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Do you know the more you try to work to get into heaven, the more you're indebted to God? But to him that worketh not, that's the key today, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we come to the book of Romans and we see the first five chapters, the first three, Paul's concluding the whole world under sin. He deals with the Gentiles who were given up, and then he deals with the religious self-righteous man in chapter 2, and he shows you the judgment of God is sure, and he begins to go through a detailed explanation of God's judgment and his wrath against sin. Then he comes to the Jew and he says, what advantage then had the Jew? And he begins to show how the Jew who had the word of God and had the knowledge of God and the law of God rejected God. And so in verse 9 of chapter 3, he says, we before proved both Jew and Gentile that they're all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. You're in that category and so am I. And yet Paul begins to see some things that God, the Holy Spirit, gives him about the issue of the doctrines of justification by faith alone. So he begins to explain that in chapter 3 and 4 and 5. And then we come to chapter 6, 7, and 8. And he begins to deal with not justification, how the penalty of sin has been dealt with, but sanctification, how you as a believer has gained a position in Christ, one that's perfectly identified with Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation, and his enthronement, that to be what's said to be true of Jesus Christ today is said to be true of the believer today. So we come to chapter 8, and Paul sees the glorious future for the believer, and he sees our sonship position, to be a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's a marvelous truth. At one time, Ephesians 2 says, we were the children of wrath, we were the sons of Satan. We were in darkness. We made up the darkness. We were alienated from God. We were rebellious against God. And yet, after the kindness and mercy of God, our Savior appeared through our Lord Jesus Christ, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And we're changed. We're no longer alienated, but now we've been reconciled unto God by one body in the cross. We've been reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ and his work at Calvary. And now we're sons and we're blessed, Ephesians 1:3 says, with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're blessed with our position in Christ and all the righteousness and eternal life and God's grace and the wisdom of God. We have the mind of Christ today, and we come to Romans 8. And he kind of backs off and he begins to look at suffering today for the believer. If we're sons of God today, Romans 8 verse 14 says, if we're children of God, Romans 8 verse 16, the word there in Romans 8, 16 says, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the born ones of God. If we've been born by a spiritual birth into the family of God, why do believers suffer today? I was at a meeting the other day, and a guy was talking about different brethren who believe in healing today through divine instrumentality of laying on of hands. That's scriptural authority for that. It's always tickled me that you see the brethren go to James chapter 5, and they say, if any sick, call for the elders, and the scriptures are true there. They never go to chapter 1, verse 1 of James and see that it's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. They never identify what tribe they belong to. It's fascinating to me, but people don't think when it comes to the Word of God. We'll see Paul does in verse 18. And they begin to talk about the fact of anointing the brother with oil. And yet when we get to Paul's ministry in 1 Timothy, the pastoral epistles, instructions written to the church, the body of Christ, to tell the pastors how to run an assembly in Paul's absence to Timothy, and what was communicated to Timothy through Paul has been communicated to us by God, the Holy Spirit, to us today. We see that Timothy's over there sick, and Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, drink no longer water, but drink a little wine for thy often infirmities and thy stomach's sake. Timothy had ulcers. You know how it is when you deal with hard-headed people. The pressure comes. You get gray hairs, and your hair begins to fall out. You know, you can get some stomach problems if you don't trust in God's perfect peace. Well, Timothy has some deacons and some elders who were rebellious against him, and Timothy started to get some stress because he wasn't trusting in God's perfect grace and resting in that through the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So Paul tells him to drink a little wine. We see Paul talk about some other brethren over there who had physical infirmities, and it's interesting to me that when the brethren talk about that, they don't see in the midst there with Paul and Timothy elders who didn't call for one another to anoint with oil and pray. But there are some different instructions given. And the reason for that is what Paul says in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, that word reckon there is an interesting word. It means to reason something out. It means to think something through. It means to think about it in a logical way. And, you know, you don't have to be always that spiritually smart to understand the Bible. Sometimes you just use a little common sense. And in the passage, Paul says, I reckon, notice this, that the sufferings, listen, friends, believers are going to suffer. Now, you can suffer sometimes for foolishness. You just make bad decisions, and because God gave you a free will, you go out and do stupid stuff, and there's consequences of that stuff. But you can sometimes suffer for godliness. There are people just left here on the planet who suffer just from simply being here because of Adam's sin. You know what Job said? Job said, man that's born of a woman is but a few days. And notice the rest of the verse, he's full of trouble. And I like what Paul said. He said he just called them light afflictions. Some of us cry and complain, but in light of eternity, they are. So Paul begins to talk about our sonship position. And he says that these sufferings at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's the creation waiting patiently, waiting for God's creation, this new creation in Christ to redeem the universe, not only redeem sinners, but one day redeem the universe through his glorified Son and the glorified creation. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Adam sinned. That's what the Bible says in the 5th of Romans, that by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Adam brought sin in the world. It wasn't God's will that man sin. Adam had a free choice. And yet, you know, God is a God of wisdom. God is a God of infinite wisdom and eternal power. So God had a plan. That's what Paul's going to tell us. God has a purpose, friend. God has an eternal purpose. God Almighty wasn't cut off God when the angelic host rebelled against him. God Almighty wasn't caught off God when the triune God wasn't caught off God when man sinned. God had a purpose and plan. I can't explain all the things of God's wisdom. I would be God, and I'm not, but I have a book that tells me about the things that God reveals to me. You know, Israel, Moses told Israel, the secret things belong unto God, but those things which are revealed are for us and our children. So here's some things revealed that we can understand and we can know. He says in verse 21, because the creature itself, let me finish verse 20, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope, there's a confident expectation of hope one day. And that hope we're going to see is a new kingdom, that kingdom on the earth, that the new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, that's why the Lord prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord understood God's eternal purpose. Notice what it says in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the glorious corruption, the bondage of corruption, and the corruption, the bondage is the sin that's corruption, into the glorious liberty. Notice that liberty there, a liberation time of the children of God. Now notice verse 22, for we know. The reason, the reckoning in verse 18 is the knowing in verse 20. Paul says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, get this, in pain together unto now. I raised that issue earlier about the elders in James 5 because I was with a group of brethren. I didn't complete my statement who was talking about men who believed in God and were called to the ministry, they say, and who believed in the issue of healing in terms of this present time. And on their deathbed, the brother said that the man had faith to still believe that God was able, even though this guy's body was racked with cancer. And the brother who was left alive couldn't understand why a good man like that who served God all his life could die. And God wouldn't heal him. Well, the problem wasn't cancer. The problem was death. He needed an answer for death. And that answer is in Jesus Christ, who brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. You see, Paul says, listen, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. And here's the key, together unto now. You see, there's something in the now time. There's something in this present time that God wants you to know about what he's doing today. How he held back his wrath and ushered in the dispensation of grace where God sometimes is not extending to his people a deliverance right now from whatever sin might affect them. Notice what he says in verse 23, and not only they, that is the creation, but ourselves also. Get that. That's the church, the body of Christ. Ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, reference the resurrection, the rapture, even ourselves, we ourselves groan, notice this, within ourselves waiting for the adoption to wit for the redemption of our body. You see, sometimes God Almighty is going to allow things to happen down here. This is a part of this sin-cursed world. And, you know, it's interesting because Paul, when the Lord saved him, Paul says to Ananias, I'm going to show this man how many great things he should suffer for my name's sake. Paul then turns around and tells Timothy that all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I know that's a reference to persecution for standing for the Lord and the things of God. But you know, it's interesting. Paul, when he talks about suffering in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, listen, let me show you a record here. It's amazing to me. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? He says, so am I. Now, this is Paul chastising and reproving the Corinthian saints. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labors more abundant than stripes above measure. Notice his record, his sufferings, in prison more frequent than death ought. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Twice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. You go down through the record. I don't have time, but Paul talks about his suffering. In chapter 12, verse 9, there's something even greater than the sufferings Paul went. Satan was, he was a messenger of Satan because of the abundance of the revelations. He was caught up in the third heaven and received these abundance about what God was doing through Christ today as he's glorified. And Paul, because so he wouldn't be exalted above measure, the Bible says that there was a messenger given of Satan giving him a thorn in the flesh. And that thing so grieved Paul, it was a physical infirmity that Paul sought the Lord thrice for his infirmities that it might be removed from him. But the Lord's answer was, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Listen, in the dispensation of grace, God's grace is sufficient for you. It's the sufficiency of his grace. Just trust that. Let me get to something real quickly before we stop here. In Revelation chapter 21 and in Isaiah chapter 65, listen, the Bible says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together in the now. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 says, behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. And the former things, notice this, the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isn't that wonderful? But you shall be glad and rejoice. This is to Israel forever in that which I create. God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to renovate this wicked planet. He's going to judge it and bring in a new order of things. For behold, I create a new Jerusalem. Notice that. Jerusalem now is in rebellion. They just signed that peace treaty. It's not going to be peace over there till the Prince of Peace comes. But they here have a new Jerusalem, a rejoicing, a people, a joy. And I, God says, will rejoice from Jerusalem. Well, you know he's not doing that today. And in the joy and joy of my people, that's Israel, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Listen, Paul, friends, Paul says in Romans 11:25, don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceit, that's your own wisdom, that a blindness in part has happened to Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Listen, this isn't being fulfilled today. You know and I know, think about it, there's not a new heaven and a new earth right now. Come with me to Revelation chapter 21 and notice the fulfillment of that. Revelation chapter 21, where John writes and he sees this. After the great white throne judgment, the Lord comes back in Revelation 19 with flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know if not God. That's after we get taken out of here as ambassadors, and God comes back with wrath, undiluted wrath, and he judges the world in righteousness, and he sets up a new order. The millennial kingdom starts in Revelation 20, and then Satan is loose from the bottomless pit. He's bound before that happens. He's loose after the 1,000 years are finished. He deceives the nation. He's thrown in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet have been for 1,000 years, and it's eternal judgment. The great white throne happens. Notice this, verse 21, chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth would pass away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's Emmanuel, God with us. And he says, and he shall dwell with them. Now, you know the Lord's not dwelling on earth right now. I haven't seen him. He's in the heavens. The Bible says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make to my enemies thy footstools. And God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God. Notice this. And God shall wipe away all tears. Have you cried today? Have you cried in the last month? God hadn't wiped away your tears yet in this sense. Now, God is the God of all comfort. And God can comfort you in all your tribulations. God is the God of all hope. So let him fill you with hope and joy and believing. God is also the God of all peace. So trust in his peace and make peace today with the Father through the Son. But that's not what this is talking about here. God's going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. You know it's death today. If you read the news, cut on the news tonight, look at the paper today. Somebody died around this planet. People are dying daily. It's a disease. It's an incurable disease called death. He says, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Paul says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That's a difference. One day there's going to be no more pain. Now, I have sinus condition right now. I got some pressure right here. I got some pain. And that's not the kind of suffering I think God's talking about, and yet it's inclusive in that, because man is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. You see, when a new kingdom comes, when the new heavens and the new earth comes, it says in the rest of the verse, for the former things are passed away, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. You go out there now, it's October the 2nd as we speak this program. The trees are turning color. They're going to be dead in a few weeks here. And yes, it's going to be a resurrection day coming. The creation right now, there's not a new heaven and a new earth. You go back and read Isaiah 65 and read Isaiah 66. At the end of Isaiah 65, God begins to talk about that kingdom. Peter says, repent to those people in Acts 3 and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. A reference to the national salvation of Israel. And Isaiah 65 says there's going to be a new thing in the earth, that a nation is going to be born in a day. And that's a reference to Israel being regenerated into that kingdom. So Peter says, repent, be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. That's the kingdom, folks. That's when Deuteronomy 11 calls it the days of heaven on earth. That's what the Lord said when he said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If this is what God's purpose is today, you and I are in trouble. Today, Paul says, evil men and seducers going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Men going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But we're looking for this day. We're looking today for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. People have died before us. If I live today and the Lord comes back, he's going to take me out of here. He said, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And when that happens, that's God calling out his ambassadors, starting that the kingdom programs begins again, the mystery program's over, prophecy starts, the wrath of God begins to be poured out, and the tribulation begins, and the great tribulation follows that before the second advent and Christ comes back to the planet Earth. And then after the millennial is over, the great white throne judgment, God's going to renovate the planet. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, so the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him. Peter goes down through the passage, and he shows you the new heaven and the new earth. And I want you to see something real quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established in the present truth. The present truth is the expression found here for truth, which is present with you through the instruction of your teachers. The teachers to these Jewish brethren here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you, notice this, as in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things. The things in the passage is a reference to the judgment of God, the day of the Lord, verse 10. When the Lord comes back and he talks about in the passage how God is not slack concerning that promise of judgment and establishment of that kingdom, but has interrupted it for a time and for a season and for a reason. So we reckon today that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. Today, God Almighty has been gracious to the whole world. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace is much more abound. You see, you have no excuse today to not be saved. Peter preached restitution, the restitution of all things spoken by the mouths of God's holy prophets since the world began. But Paul says it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You see, the message today is not restitution, the establishment of a new order of things, that is, a new kingdom, a new earth, a new planet, but it's the reconciliation of things, the reconciliation of dead sinners. Listen, Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross paid the sin debt. Would you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him by faith, and be saved eternally from the wrath of God to come?
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.